You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux. Today, joining me for episode 94, the clinch episode, is Matt Collins, the managing editor at Over the Monster. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you. I feel like I'm having a little deja vu. It's good to be back.
Yeah, for the listeners out there, we are experiencing Groundhog Day right now.
This is the third time we've done this intro.
Yeah.
Hopefully the last time.
Hopefully the last time. We have run into a slew of technical difficulties this past week, so we didn't get an episode out to you regrettably last week, but we are here, and it seems like we figured it out, so that's a good thing. Also a good thing, the Red Sox clinched their third straight AL East title last night, first time in franchise history. They did it at Yankee Stadium, which was sweeter, in my opinion. I know Matt has a differing one. Than doing it even at home, because I just like anything that involves causing the Yankees extreme pain. So, Matt, what was your impression of this one? It was a pretty good game in its own right.
It was a good game. I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez didn't really look great. Heath Embry gave up a pretty big home run, although it was a Yankee Stadium special, but still it wasn't a great pitch. But yeah, the offense has kind of been scuffling along for a little bit. They broke out. That was pretty nice. And yeah, seeing – I'm such a sucker for celebrations like that. So, I mean, I just love watching, like, grown adults yelp around and pour beer and champagne on each other and shit. So I had fun.
Do you really like weddings then?
You know – oh, yeah. Who doesn't like weddings? As long as it's open bar. But
yeah.
Yeah. I don't really like champagne, though, so I'm not a big champagne guy.
I mean, I don't think it really matters. Like, those guys aren't really drinking that stuff.
Oh, no, I know. I just think at weddings.
Oh, okay.
I've never been to a wedding where you pour champagne. I mean, that would be a pretty awesome. I'd go. If anybody has weddings where you just pour champagne on everyone, send me the invite, but I've never been to one of those.
Let me ask you this, then. If you get the invite for a wedding and it's not open bar, does it go in the trash?
I mean, it depends who it is.
Like, but yeah, you're throwing that sucker in the trash, aren't you?
Most likely, unless they're like blood relative, I might have to go. But other than that, yeah, get an open bar.
Yeah.
At least beer and wine, like hard alcohol.
Well, that's the way to do it. Yeah, if you have a troublesome uncle or something like that, the hard alcohol open bar can be tough. So. Yeah. So by the way, the team is now at 104 wins. They're just too shy of breaking the team record. They have 9 games left to go. And if they go 5-4, they'll finish with 109 wins. That's pretty good, Matt. I mean, we were talking about the prospects of them challenging for 116, you know, a while back, and I think we both guessed they'd be right around the 110 mark. So it'd be pretty cool if they got to 110. That's kind of what I'm rooting for, because I just think that's a pretty cool number.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't really care. I'm kind of enjoying not caring about wins and losses for a couple of weeks. So I don't really want to put a number in my head, because that means I'm going to have to care about wins and losses again. But this is the best regular season Red Sox team I've ever seen. And if they do win the World Series, which is far from a sure thing, but if they do, then it's the best Red Sox team I've ever seen, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's a pretty damn good one, but I think JD himself said it best last night when he was celebrating. He said, "You want to celebrate and enjoy it, but we aren't done." So this team clearly has an eye towards something else. They've made the postseason now as the division winner 3 years in a row. First two times didn't go so well. So they're going to be looking for some more out there.
Yeah, definitely. Just a weird stat that doesn't really have anything to do with what you just said, but this is the seventh straight year where they've been either first or last. So it's been a weird time in Red Sox history.
That is bizarre. How many years were they last out of that? Two
three.
Or three?
Okay. Three. 12, 14, 15, and then 13, 16, 17, 18. They were in first.
I think I've blocked 15 completely out of my brain.
15 was... Yeah, 15 was weird. That was the year... that was the year they like went bananas in the second half, I think. It looked a lot better.
That was the Torrey Lovello second half, right?
So I get 14, 15 confused.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. It's really nice. And I thought it was really fitting that Mookie Betts had such an incredible game versus the Yankees during the clincher. He went 4 for 5. He had that home run that was very reminiscent of what we saw from Mookie Betts during the first half of the year when he just jacked one off of Aroldis Chapman. That was really sweet to see.
Yeah. He gave a lot of credit to Alex Cora, and I think it's kind of a testament to what Cora has brought to this team. He said that Cora kind of just reminded him that he's Mookie Betts pretty much. He told him he's the best player in baseball and that he just has to get back to what he was doing. He told him that his best series of the year was against the Astros. He only swung at one pitch out of the zone in that whole series. He said, if you go back to doing that, you're going to go back to, being the guy you were in the first half. And sure enough, it's exactly what happened. Ike's still going. Did he get to 30-30 yet? I know that was something that they talked about. Yeah, they talked. He wants that. He kind of pretty much came right out and said it. So that's something to watch. What is he? He's a couple stolen bases short. So yeah. Look for him to be running every time he gets on base.
Well, my fantasy team could use that right now because I'm in the championship. So, yeah, Mookie, keep running, keep hitting, get on a tear. Let's do it, baby. Other notes from that game, Heath Hembree was just miserable. He gave up that monster grand slam. Wright, on the other hand, was amazing. Came in for three strong, looked awesome. Knuckleball was great. They did a good job catching him. Do you think Hembree is off this potential playoff bullpen? I kind of think he's out of the question right now.
I think he should be. I don't think he will be. I think Cora clearly still likes him with runners on base. And he's going to keep – I think he's just been too important all year. I don't think they're going to leave him off. I will say characterizing him as terrible in that game might be a little strong. He didn't load the bases. He did give up the home run, but it was, like, right over the fence on the short porch. And then he only threw three pitches. I don't know if that's terrible. But he has been pretty terrible of late. I would have him off, but I think I just can't see it happening.
All right, let's play the third edition that we've played, I think, of Let's Make a Bullpen. So it's Kimbrel, okay? Yeah. It's Wright, it's Brazier, it's Workman, yeah. Right?
Yes.
Kimbrel, Wright, Brazier, Workman, who else?
Barnes.
Okay.
Whoever doesn't make the rotation.
So
we think of Aldi, but that's becoming
Aldi.
So it was reported not too long ago, like 20 minutes ago. Chris Mason writes for the Eagle Tribune, a couple other papers in that area. He said that reading between the lines, it sounds like Eovaldi will be in the rotation if the Sox draw the Yankees in the ALDS.
Interesting. Okay.
I think they don't want Rodriguez against a righty-heavy lineup like that, which kind of makes sense, especially after last night.
Yeah.
So either way, whoever doesn't make the rotation, I think is going to be a pretty key piece in the bullpen.
Okay. So that's six guys right there.
So we got one more. So I think this is where Hembree comes in. I would have Pointer, but I think it'll be Hembree.
How many opportunities has Pointer been getting? Every time I turn on the game, I don't see him.
He hasn't been he had like a little run where he was pitching a lot, but it really hasn't been that much. And Alex Cora said today also in his media meeting that he's heard people saying that it looks like he's doing tryouts for the bullpen, but that's not the case. He knows. He already knows who he wants, which leads me to believe that Pointer doesn't really have a shot.
Interesting. I'm kind of surprised that no one's – well, not a lot of lists that I'm seeing have Brian Johnson, because every time I see him pitch, he's been awesome.
Yeah, I just don't know. I feel like Wright and whoever doesn't make the rotation, you already have two guys like that. And Johnson's somebody who I would want if I need somebody to go, like, multiple innings, not somebody I would want to get, like, a big out.
So I guess I'll push back on that a little bit. With Stephen Wright, though, last night was the first time that we'd seen him go more than two innings. He went three innings last night, but he hadn't done that since he's come back from the injury. Whereas Brian Johnson's the type of guy that, you know, if Price is getting hit hard in the first inning, you pull him out and you put Brian Johnson in for four or five.
Yeah, I think they would do that with Wright, and I think they would do that with Eovaldi or Rodriguez.
Okay.
And that would he threw a couple innings against the Astros too, Wright did.
Yeah, so he's thrown two once before this, but he hadn't thrown three before this.
No, but I mean I don't think there's any question that he could do it in the playoffs. And okay. I also don't really like him. Like, he's not a guy you bring in. I had some people wondering why he didn't come in with the bases loaded. And you just can't bring a knuckleballer into that situation because a pass ball is a run. So he's not like a fireman type of guy. I feel like his role has to be a multi-inning innings eater.
So on the off chance that – well, I guess I shouldn't say the off chance. On the chance that Hembree does make it over Pointer, do you think that Cora is going to continue to run him out there as the guy to use with men on base, or is – that is, do you think he's starting to change his mind a little bit? Like, who should he use?
Well, Brazier's been getting that run. So I would say Brazier's over that. It really depends on what kind of work they can get for Barnes before the playoffs start, I think. Because Barnes was mostly an eighth inning guy before he got hurt, but he also got a bunch of chances with runners on base and he did really well. I think people are kind of forgetting about Barnes, and I feel like he's the key to this bullpen working. Because if he's the guy he was in the first half, Kimbrel, Barnes, and whatever starter doesn't make the rotation, I'm pretty okay with that as like a top three.
And we got to anticipate that we're going to see a lot of Barnes over these next nine games to kind of see if he's right.
I was surprised he didn't come in last night, but I think they wanted Kimbrel on the mound when they clinched. Because they don't want Barnes in a high leverage spot for his first outing. So the ninth inning kind of seemed like a good spot, but I get wanting to have Kimbrel out there for that moment.
Well, I guess this whole thing kind of lets us know why they have Eovaldi making more starts down the stretch, because this is, you know, looking likely that it could be the Yankees here with, you know, the A's not drawing ahead, and it looks like the game's going to be played in New York. Not that that matters.
Still pretty close. But I think it's only a game and a half.
I thought it was three at this point, no?
I'm pretty sure it was a game and a half. Because, well, they picked up a game last night.
Okay.
Because they beat the Angels by, like, 55 runs.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it's only a game and a half.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's definitely still a race.
Yeah, definitely is. That's true. So, playoffs are going to start on October 5th for the Red Sox at Fenway Park. So, that's coming up here soon. I mean, it's already the 21st as we record this. So, only nine games left in the season. Aside from the bullpen, the other concern that I have going into the ALDS is the passivity that the Red Sox are displaying on pitches in the middle of the zone. I think it was Alex Speer that did a really good article last week, maybe, or maybe it was even this week. It might have been earlier in this week.
Yeah, I think it was just a few days ago.
He was talking about, you know, how the Red Sox have been more passive and not swinging at as many pitches that are middle of the zone. And that's something that Alex Cora has harped on too, and he said that the team needs to get back to doing that. And you know, we've noticed that from Mookie Betts. We talked about that last time we were on the podcast here. It seems like that's going to be something that Alex Cora is going to continue to kind of drill into these guys, because they've had so much success when they do it, and not nearly as much when they don't. So I don't know that. I guess I'm just I'm curious as to why maybe they would have stopped, and how do you get guys to commit to something like that? It just seems like one of these things that it's like your parents telling you to clean your room. Like, you know you need to do it, and then you stop doing it, and then you do it again. I mean, it just...
I'm still like that with my room.
I'm probably explaining this terribly, but it's just like, it's one of those things that you hear in the background that I feel like you think you're thinking about, but then it's easy to forget to do it.
I think what it is they start struggling, and then you start overthinking things once you start struggling, and then you're waiting for the perfect pitch because you want that slump buster, and then that can just kind of take you down the wrong road, I guess. I'm not really worried. I think these guys have been too good for too long to really be worried. If there was anybody to be worried about, it would probably be Moreland. And Benintendi's been pretty rough for a little while, but I just can't imagine that swing being down for too long. So, I mean, I get it. It's tough to watch right now, but I think they'll be fine, especially getting some breaks. Getting some mental breaks will probably help them.
Yeah, I agree with that. The mental side of things is where that comes in, and I got to think that everybody's going to be mentally elevated when it comes to playoff time. So, yeah, hopefully that pans out, but I think that if we're going to point to anything outside of the bullpen that could be the issue, it's definitely that, if the offense doesn't show up the way it's supposed to.
I guess. I mean, the starting pitch, anything could go wrong. The playoffs are weird. It's such a small sample that, I mean, Chris Sale was bad last year. I wouldn't expect it, and I wasn't expecting it then, but I mean, it's possible. Things happen. It's just, you never know what's going to happen.
What's the status with Eduardo Nunez? He's been out with a little bit of soreness. What's going on with him?
Yeah, he hurt his hamstring the other night. They're not acting like it's really serious, but he's not going to play this weekend. Probably for the best to get Devers some time and maybe get him hot. I've said before, Nunez, I feel like, is a safer option, but if Devers gets hot, that's the ideal option. He looked pretty good last night, so if he keeps doing that, it might all be for the best.
Yeah. I mean, Devers, I feel like, has looked a little bit overmatched with good velocity lately. Have you noticed?
Except for Aroldis Chapman, though.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is about Chapman. He got another hit off him last night. I don't understand it.
It is kind of weird.
Because you're right, especially a lefty. Like, he struggles against lefties, and he struggles against, like, big stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just something about Chapman. He's got him.
It seems like the Red Sox as a team kind of have Chapman. That's
said, I forget where I saw this, but Chapman has 16 innings against the Red Sox since coming to the Yankees, and the Red Sox have 16 runs in those 16 innings. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll take that. It's funny how the Red Sox team seem to be able to figure out the Red Sox closers. I just remember
Yankees closers.
Yankees closers. Big games against Mo Rivera too. So
yeah, I mean, I guess it's familiarity. But Kimbrough made them look pretty stupid last night, except for Cutchin.
Cutch is on nice. Heater right now though.
Yeah, he was on base like four or five times last night. But it was nice that they ended that game with an ugly strikeout against Stanton, too. That made me feel pretty good.
Yeah, screw that guy. Big monster. So I want to talk about the AL and NL awards, because the Red Sox have a lot of guys who are certainly in the conversation for a bunch of these AL awards. I think that Sale's shot is probably over for the Cy Young at this point, but Mookie, I think, is probably still the front runner for the MVP. So let's start with our awards picks right now. Who would you go with for AL MVP right now?
I think it's got to be Mookie. Trout's been Trout. He's amazing. And I wouldn't really be upset if he won. But I think you got to go with Mookie. Just he's close enough to Trout that you can use the winning team as a tiebreaker, I guess. Plus, I mean, there's always voter fatigue. Trout's in it every year, you know. So I think it's got to go to Mookie.
Yeah, Mookie's got the better defense than Trout. Trout's better offensively. Even, I mean, Trout's carrying a 193 weighted runs created plus through the year right now with 130 games.
He's amazing.
I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, he's amazing.
But you, if you're looking at the counting stats line, Mookie has 30 home runs, Trout has 36. Mookie has 121 runs, Trout has 96. Mookie has more RBIs, 77-72. Mookie has more steals, 28-24. And Mookie's got a 180 WRC plus on his own right. So when you add everything up, Mookie's ahead of him on Fangraphs WAR by 0.1. And really,
that's not really anything, though. Like, that's tied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's basically nothing. But both of those guys have pulled ahead of that duo from the Indians, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. They're having incredible seasons. Jose Ramirez is a 38-33 guy right now with a 151 WRC+. But both of those guys are significantly behind where Trout and Betts are now. So I think it's probably still a two-man race.
Probably. I mean, the narrative is still going to be there for Cleveland's guys, and Bregman's kind of come on strong too, and JD's gonna get love too. There's no doubt in my mind about that. I would definitely give it to Betts over JD, but he's got that narrative of kind of changing the culture, so he'll get some love.
Yeah, and he definitely has those big counting stats too: 41 home runs, 106 runs, 124 RBI so far, and a .331 batting average. He'll be the sixth player ever to hit over 40 home runs with 330 batting average and over 120 RBIs. So that's good.
He's good.
Yeah, the dude's good. But I agree with you. I would give it to Mookie, and I think he's probably the prohibitive favorite. The guy
should also mention that we're incredibly biased.
Yeah, but even non-biased people are.
No, I think he's probably the leader too. I just think that we're probably not the best people to ask.
No, definitely not. Let's go over to AL Cy Young. This is where things get a little bit dicier. I wrote about this earlier. I think it was 2 weeks ago I wrote about this, and I tabbed Verlander as the guy who I would have. Who would you have?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I don't really feel good about it, but I think I'd give it to Snell, even though he doesn't have the innings. I feel like innings matter less and less now, and he's just been amazing. But I mean, him, Verlander, even Cole and Kluber, I think it's close. I just think Snell's gonna sub 2 ERA, and that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's the race. That's the race, I think, right now, because Chris Sale doesn't even qualify for the ERA title right now at this point with the innings that he has.
Yeah. He's not that far behind in innings, though. I mean, I guess if he's supposed to throw 5 tonight, maybe like 7 the next time, maybe he can get there. But
yeah, he might be able to. I just think he's going to be too low innings-wise to win the award. But Snell, you know, we're talking about him because he's 20-5 right now. He's got an incredible record. We know that wins matter to the voters, even though we don't like the stat.
I don't think they do that much anymore.
I disagree. I looking at the data from Jay Jaffe, who compiled all the winners, it seems like they still like the wins. And I think that Porcello got a lot of bump from that just 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think he got as much of a bump as people make it out to be. I mean, he led in other stuff. He had the best strikeout-to-walk ratio. His peripherals were really, really good that year, too. I mean, they still matter. I guess it depends on who gets the votes. Like, it's split up randomly, I think. And so, I mean, every team gets a representative, but who votes for what is random. So, I mean, if you, it's possible that it just skews young, and then wins don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Felix won it that 1 year without having the wins. I think DeGrom's going to – we'll get to this later, but I think DeGrom's going to win the Cy Young running away. He doesn't have wins.
Yeah, I think I still have to lean Verlander here over Snell. I like that he's over 200 innings. I like that you know, when you dig a little deeper into FIP and ex-FIP and stuff like that and WAR, they all like him better than Snell. I think Snell's great. I just think that 87.7% left on base rate is a little bit fluky. I don't think he's as good as his 1.97 ERA says. And, you know, he's still only three innings ahead of a guy in Trevor Bauer who hasn't pitched in, like, well over a month. So,
yeah, it's fair.
I'm not sure about the volume. I want to say, though, the Indians are just
– No, their rotation is bananas.
They, on this list right here, I'm looking at Fangraphs WAR, Trevor Bauer, Carlos Carrasco, Corey Kluber, and Mike Clevinger are all in the top seven in the American League in pitcher WAR, and all of them are over 182 innings.
I'm on DRA WAR, and they are all in the top 19 in all of baseball.
It's stupid.
It's crazy. It's bananas.
That team, I'm just
Clevinger
so happy.
Clevinger doesn't get enough love for what he's done this year.
No, he's been great.
Just because, I mean, the rest of that rotation is just sick. It makes sense that he's underrated. It's just, that's their number four.
How happy are you that the Indians are going to play the Astros, though? Because one of those guys is getting taken out.
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty sweet. Unless the A's catch the Astros. They are only 3.5. I thought it was 2.5. Still 3.5. It's a race. Probably not going to happen, but we can dream.
Yeah. I don't want to have that dream.
I want an Astros Yankees wildcard game in my life so bad.
Really?
So bad. That would get, I mean, first of all, it would just be an incredible game just as a baseball fan. Plus, one of them is out. I hate both of those teams. So one of them being out in a one-game playoff, that would fill me with joy.
I just want to guarantee that Houston or Cleveland is going to be out before we see them.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I just feel like rooting for opponents of the playoffs, it's, you're going to play good teams no matter what. Just whatever happens, happens.
All right, so the next awards category that we have is AL Rookie of the Year. We have the big candidates, Shohei Ohtani. We have Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar. Who are you going with here?
This is the worst debate because people have their opinions are way too strong. I say Andujar, but if you say Ohtani, I totally get it. I just think Andujar has been incredible. I know his defense isn't great, but he's like carried that lineup for times this year. His power has been incredible, and he's been healthy all year. Like I said, if you go Ohtani, it's – I hate award season because, like, debates inevitably turn into just, like, trashing whoever you don't think should win.
Yeah.
Just – it drives me nuts. So I would say Andujar. People are very passionate about this vote, and it makes me mad online.
Out of the two Yankees guys, I agree with you. I do like Andujar slightly better. I think that he's had the more consistent bat all year. I think his defense kind of sucks. I think that Gleyber Torres has the higher ceiling out of the two guys.
I definitely think Torres is going to be the better player in the long run.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that what Andujar has given that team this year has been extremely valuable. So in the spirit of the award, I kind of like it. Shohei Ohtani, though, it's really hard for me not to give it to him. If you asked me this 3 weeks ago, I would have said, no way, it's one of the two Yankees guys. But looking at what he's done with the bat over the past few weeks, too, the guy right now has a 160 weighted runs created plus with 20 home runs, 9 steals, and 50 runs and 50 RBIs, a little bit more than that. He's batting 290. I didn't think that there was any way that he would have a slash line like this. Guy's got a 290 ISO, and the velocity off his bat, the exit velocity, backs this up. I mean, he is a very good hitter. And as a pitcher, he's top 10 in the league in velocity as well. It's ridiculous. I just didn't think – I didn't buy the hype, to be honest. I just didn't think that he would be this good, and he is. It's a shame that he's got the UCL issue, but
– yeah, it sucks.
I think you got to give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I just – for me, it's mostly a playing time thing. He has 330 plate appearances versus 566 for Andujar. And I don't know that the 51 innings are enough to put it over the top, but it's such a unique case. Like, I have no idea how to weigh that.
Yeah, and I don't know what the voters are going to think either.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting vote. It's just the backlash from whoever wins is going to be rough.
I think what is in his favor, though, is that Shohei is 24. You know, and most of the Japanese guys that have come over and been eligible and or won the award have been a little bit older than that. Yeah. So I think that helps him a lot.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's like the same age. He's only a year older than Andujar.
Yeah. Manager of the year. It's got to be Cora, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could definitely make a case for Melvin. And I think you can make a really interesting case for Kevin Cash, too. But, again, I'm biased, so I think you have to go with Cora just the way this Red Sox team has just been a juggernaut all year.
Yeah, I like those other two picks too, Melvin and Cash. But
yeah, I mean, if one of them won over Cora, I really wouldn't be that upset. I mean, it's definitely an understandable case.
If Melvin wins, I won't be upset. If Cash wins, I'll be a little surprised. I know that they've just been incredibly hot in the second half, and no one wants to play him, and it's hilarious that the Yankees have to play him to end the season because they just get destroyed by them this year. But, I mean, Cora, man. I mean, JD had a quote about it yesterday, which I thought was pretty good. He was getting champagne poured in his eyes, and Garen Oskin was asking him, you know, what's been the difference this year. And he described how quickly the year has gone by versus other years. And he talked about how in August it usually turns into, you know, kind of a slog where you just can't wait until the end of the regular season. And I think it's a testament to Cora that JD and the rest of the guys are feeling like this has been fun. They've won a lot. They've gone through it together. They seem to be a close-knit group. Everyone just seems to be buying in to what he's selling. And he seems to have been the perfect sort of cherry on top of what was a pretty good team that Dombrowski built.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, I think he would get my vote too. I think the best case for Cash would be people kind of underrate how hard it probably was to get all the relievers to buy into that opener and even the starters. And like, I know they were young pitchers and a lot of them didn't have a lot of leverage, but I think Cash deserves a ton of credit. Whatever you think of the opener, whether it's a good or bad strategy, getting the players to buy into that to the extent that they have is probably easier said than done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would
still go Cora though.
Yeah, I mean, Cash is awesome. It's hard to say anything bad about him. And it's been impressive how well that whole opener thing has worked. I mean, they're a really dangerous team right now. And I think we have to give props also to another rookie who's on that team. They've got two really good rookies, actually, in Adames and
Wendell.
Wendell, especially. He reminds me of the next Ben Zobrist.
Ugh, I hate that phrase. You might be right. It's just we've had 50 next Ben Zobrists over the last like 10 years. That's kind of over it.
He does look like the real deal, though.
No, he does look good.
I'm not going to like playing against or seeing the team play against that guy for the next whatever.
It's the Rays. He's going to be traded soon. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, hopefully. All right, so let's move on to the National League here. National League MVP. This might be the biggest shit show award in the National League this year. No one's really run away from it, but who are you giving it to?
If I'm voting for it, I think it's got to go to DeGrom. He's been – I think there's a pretty good argument he's been the best player in baseball this year, regardless of league. He's been just crazy good. There's nobody that's really running away with anything for this award in the National League. I would give it to DeGrom. I don't think it's going to happen. He's both a pitcher and on a bad team. So if we eliminate him, I would probably go Yelich. Especially what he's been doing lately. But I think it should be DeGrom. The more I think about it, the more firm I am on that stance.
I would not like it if they gave it to a pitcher, just because I typically don't like it if they give it to a pitcher. I get the argument that the three best players in the National League have, by most metrics, been Nola and DeGrom and Scherzer. But, I mean, when I'm looking at the standings right now, I'm looking at the Brewers, and they're pushing the Cubs for first place. They've been playing great all year, and Christian Yelich is just incredible. 31 home runs, over 100 runs, almost 100 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, and, you know, that typical sweet swing, over 300 batting average. Leads the league in weighted runs created plus, plays all three outfield positions. Tough to give it to anybody but him if you're going to give it to a position player. But I want to give a little bit of love down to Trevor Story, too. He's all the way at 11 in WAR, but I think that his story before he got hurt...
That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I did not mean to do that again.
God damn it.
Second week in a row that I've had an unintentional pun.
What was the last one? Workman?
Yeah. It might have been Workman. Yeah. And, man, fuck. I don't even want to finish this.
Cancel the podcast.
But Trevor Story, 33 home runs, 26 stolen bases, and just the transformation that he made while playing a good shortstop, and the Colorado Rockies are in it. I just thought he was a really interesting case.
Yeah, I mean, I would give it to Arenado over him just for the team award. But, yeah, Story's been really good. I think it's going to come down to Yelich or Baez, and I think Yelich is probably going to win.
You know who's sneaky in this race that no one has mentioned at all? He is second in Fangraphs WAR right now. Anthony Rendon.
The Nationals aren't good, though. I don't think he's going to get that love.
No, I don't think he is either, but I'm just shocked that he's there. You know?
I love Rendon. He's one of my favorite players in the game.
He's great. Yeah, I mean, I love the player as well, but, like, he's sneaky 22, 82, 82, 2, and a 304 average. Like, where did that come from? No one heard about him this year. It was just a total afterthought. Yeah. It's interesting, though. That's a real logjam. When you look up and down that lineup, or that leaderboard, I should say, there's a ton of guys who are really close. So that's an interesting award. Ben Zobrist. I wanted to give a little love his way. 3.5 WAR this year. One of his best seasons in a long time. He finished this year with a 312 batting average at 384 OBP. That's impressive. He's not young.
I'm not happy for him.
I
actually kind of like Ben Zobrist. He's just part of that Rays team.
Yep.
So I don't like him.
All right, Cy Young. There's no surprises here for you, right? We're just if you're good.
It's got to be DeGrom.
You got to do. Yeah, exactly.
It has to be.
I would have said Scherzer a month ago, and I'm saying DeGrom.
Yeah, it was definitely closer, but DeGrom's unbelievable.
My favorite race of the year, NL Rookie of the Year. This is a tight one. This is Soto versus Acuna, and there is really nothing in between. What do you have?
I go Acuna. It's one of those, if you can argue either way. I kind of like the all-around package a little more for Acuna, and that puts it over the top for me. But Soto's been unreal. Plus, I have two Dynasty Leagues, and I have one of them on each of them, which makes me feel pretty good. But
I also have a similar situation where I own shares of both these players. As a hit tool guy, as like someone who just... I drool over hit tools. I can't get over what Juan Soto has done in his first year. 16.1% walk rate, 20.9% K rate with a 221 ISO. He's batting 297, 410, 518, and he's a teenager.
He's unbelievable. This is another one where, like, it's just part of the debate process is you kind of have to tear down the other guy to do it, and I just don't feel good about tearing either of these guys down. These are both future stars.
Yeah, and the plate appearances.
Well, they're already stars. But they're going to be stars for a long time.
Oh yeah, these guys are going to be top five players in the league probably.
Yeah.
Juan Soto has 459 plate appearances. Acuna has 451, so almost the exact same this year. Soto is behind in home runs. He has 20. Acuna has 26. Runs, it's 73 for Acuna, 72 for Soto. RBI, 58 and 65. Soto has the edge there.
We don't really care about runs and RBIs, though.
No.
Do we?
I mean...
For fantasy, that's what
Yeah, for fantasy purposes. But it's just really interesting. When you go all the way down the line, you even get the weighted runs created, plus Juan Soto's at 147, Acuna's at 146. It's just pick your poison with these guys. Most people are saying Acuna because of the defense on top of everything. I think that's the right choice. Like, if I was to make a bet on this, I'd say Acuna. But for me personally, give me Soto for the next 15 years.
Yeah, that's – I think I might take Acuna, actually, as an overall player. But, again, it's, like, neck and neck. I think another thing working in Acuna's favor is just that he got that publicity for that leadoff home run streak.
Yeah.
Kind of got a little narrative on his side, and that's always important in these races.
And he plays for a first-place club, not a club that's about to blow up.
Yeah, but I feel like the Nationals have kind of, weirdly enough, been in the spotlight more than the Braves this year, even though the Braves have been better.
Yeah,
just because the Nationals have failed so spectacularly.
It is amazing, the amount of talent on that team for them not to be in the playoffs.
I don't really understand it.
Shouldn't have fired Dusty Baker.
Yeah, that's true.
Manager of the Year, National League. Where are you going here?
I think there's a few candidates.
Torrey Lavelle.
I think Craig. He was in there until the Nationals decided, or Diamondbacks decided to implode. I think I have a different answer than what we talked about this earlier. I'm looking up his name because I don't remember. Mike Schild. He took over for Mike Matheny in the middle of the year.
Yep.
And then the Cardinals have just gone on a run and are now in the playoff spot, which didn't seem possible when Matheny got fired. So I don't know that he really has a great case if you haven't even been the manager all year, but I think he's really interesting, and I don't know that there's a clear front runner in this race, so... He's fun. That's an interesting story.
I like that whole story, too. He seems like he's kind of the antithesis of Matheny, who, frankly, from all the stories, seems like kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he's the worst manager in baseball.
Yeah. I was listening to the Ringer MLB podcast, and they had some good excerpts about players having issues with him, and it was pretty surprising. So, yeah, guess I'm not surprised that the Cardinals have thrived without him. I'm going to go with Craig Counsell here. More Brewers love. I don't know why I'm loving on the Brewers so much, but...
Oh, they're so much fun.
Yeah, I just like them. You know, I'd like to see them succeed, and I think he's done a tremendous job with what has been an awesome offense and a great bullpen, but starting pitching that's been kind of up and down all year, and he's made the pieces work. He's made the guys buy in. He just seems to have that locker room, so I like him. All right, well, that wraps it up for awards for the year. We'll see how right we are or how wrong we are. Let's get to some listener questions, and we'll wrap up the show. Frederick Ambrosino has a question for us. He definitely follows us on Twitter as well, so thanks for the question. He says, one weapon that the Red Sox won't probably have in the postseason is the ability to have their ace pitch on short rest. How big a disadvantage is it compared to what the Indians or Astros can do? How crucial is Steven Wright for this team given the state of its bullpen? He says, go Sox. Matt, that's a great point that I hadn't really thought about.
I don't know if I agree with it.
Really? Okay. Go. I need to hear this.
I don't understand why Chris Sale can't go on short rest because of the injury, I'm guessing?
That's right, because he hasn't been built up.
Well, he's throwing 75 pitches tonight,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to throw 100 pitches after that. I mean, that's built up. He'll be fine. If they need him to, they can. The other part of that is, based on how they're pitching down the stretch, they have two aces. So they have David Price, too.
Unless they're playing the Yankees.
Yeah. See, Price wasn't great in that start the other night, but he wasn't nearly as bad as that line would indicate. He got fucked over by an awful error by Nunez, and he gave up a bunch of, like, 340-foot home runs. So I'm not really worried about Price. I don't think this is something that I'm really worried about, to be honest. I think if they need Sale on short rest, they're going to get Sale on short rest.
I mean, Sale's enough of a lunatic to do it, even if he's not physically able to do it. And I don't think that they would hesitate to throw him out there. But I just don't know if he's physically all the way back yet. We haven't seen a dominating Sale start like the one he had against the Baltimore Orioles before he went on the DL for the second time. So I guess I'll be looking to see what he can do the next couple times out for me to fully know that Chris Sale is back.
Yeah, he hasn't really been bad enough that I'm worried about it, though.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we've seen him succeed with lesser stuff. We saw it earlier in the year. We've seen it at various times throughout his career, so probably shouldn't be overreacting to it. Next one comes from Vinny. He says, can Rick Porcello be a good bullpen arm as opposed to a starter in the postseason? I think we talked about this last time. He's been absolute garbage whenever he's been in the bullpen. He's so much more valuable as a starter.
Yeah, he's like the one guy. He's the only guy in that rotation, I think, that I don't see his stuff playing up all that much in shorter stints.
No, it's, he's the starter, it's command through and control. Through.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Jack Wayne has our next question. He says, is Mookie Betts the greatest player to ever play? There was a guy named Ted Williams who played in left field before him. It was pretty
there
good.
There was another left fielder named Willie Mopeña.
Are you queuing up Willie Mo bombs on YouTube right now? What's going on over there?
I always have a Willie Mo tab open.
That's great. That's a fun fact about Matt. Always got a Willie Mo tab. Is Willie Mo still playing? When did he stop playing affiliated ball? Is he still like crushing home runs in some like third division league?
He was in Japan last time I checked.
Was that recent?
2017. Yeah, I don't think he's playing this year, but he was playing in Japan, and he had a 5.11 slugging percentage.
Okay.
242 batting average, but a 5.11 slugging.
Do you think he's ever seriously injured a fan with some of those home runs?
No, I feel like I would have heard about that. But that Willie Mo never got to participate in a home run derby is just a devastating fact about our lifetime.
Yeah, you'll go to the grave with that one, Matt.
Yeah,
that's
not fair.
Next question comes from Sam Giannotti, and he says, did we really deserve to celebrate winning arguably the worst division in the league?
Let me tell you something, Sam. This is the worst question we've ever gotten.
I agree.
This is so bad. Not only is the AL East not even close to the worst division in baseball, I mean, they beat the second place team is the second best team in baseball by record, I think, or third. I don't know.
It's up there.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees and the Rays are both good. The AL Central is easily the worst team, their worst division in baseball. And the Indians deserve to celebrate that, too, because it's a fucking baseball season, man. Relax. Yes, they deserve to celebrate.
Yeah, it's like this guy had never pulled up a standings tab and actually looked at the other divisions before he wrote this.
I'm so mad about this question.
Also, like, when you play in the AL East, the top teams typically are so good that they make the teams that are at the bottom sell off more than other teams' divisions do because they're always out of it by the half point.
The Blue Jays aren't even that bad. Like, they're like what you expect from a fourth place team. The Orioles are that bad. The Orioles are historically bad. I will give you that. But, like, this is such a bad question.
Yeah, even the Orioles managed 7 wins against interleague play, though. Which
they did pretty well against the Yankees this year, too.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Next question comes from Jack McGrew. He says, is it time to retire the extremely younger brother Yankees suck approach? No. I don't know. Every time I go to a game, a Yankees suck chant pops up from some reason. And you know what? I think that we should continue to chant Yankees suck for at least, I mean, how many years has it been since 04? It's been 14 years. So I would say 72 more years we should chant Yankees suck.
It's part of being a Red Sox fan. Keep it going forever.
Yeah, I like it. Next question comes from Joe Danger. He says, was all the complaining on Twitter about the Yankee Stadium home runs justified? We do play in Fenway after all. Fenway's is not a home run happy park, though.
No, but it is a weird park. And so I like this question because I thought that the complaining was really over the top. I think if you're complaining like that was annoying, like totally. But if you're complaining like it's unfair, I mean, it obviously isn't unfair. The Red Sox could have done the same thing. It's annoying in the same way that it's annoying when the other team hits like a 290-foot fly ball that just sneaks around the pole in right field at Fenway. Like, I don't enjoy watching it, but it's complaining. The only stadium things you're allowed to complain about are the catwalks in Tampa and any bullpen in foul territory.
What about the amount of foul territory in Oakland?
I like it.
Okay.
I think that's one of my favorite parts about baseball is like the uniqueness of the stadiums. But I hate bullpens in the field of play. The catwalks are garbage. And the hill that was in center field in Houston was awful too. I'm glad they got rid of that.
That was a really weird feature that seemed
custom
designed to blow up like Achilles tendons.
Yeah, well that's the thing. It's the same thing with the bullpens in foul territory. It's just an unnecessary injury risk.
Yeah, that's weird. I agree with you. For the most part, I think that's one of the most enjoyable things about baseball. And there's a pretty good Twitter account that you can follow called like MLB Cathedrals or something like that that always shows good stadium picks. So check that out. All right, so that's about done it for the episode. We have solved our tech issues, so we should be back with you on a regular schedule from now, hopefully through a long playoff run. If you enjoyed the show, please go on and rate and review us. We've had a ton of rate and reviews this year. They've all been awesome, so continue that, please, through the playoffs. And follow us on Twitter. You can follow the Over the Monster account for all your latest Red Sox news at Over the Monster. You can follow Matt on Twitter at MattRYCollins. And you can follow me at DevJake. And we'll be with you at a similar time next week.